fourth chapter of the book of Matthew. We'll start reading at verse number 18, if you'll please stand with us in reverence to the reading of God's word. Fourth chapter, 18th verse. And Jesus, walking by the Sea of Galilee, saw two brethren, Simon called Peter, and Andrew his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishers. And he said unto them, Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. And they straightway left their nets and followed him. And going on from thence, he saw other two brethren, James, the son of Zebedee, and John his brother, in a ship with Zebedee his father, mending their nets. And he called them. And they immediately left the ship and their father and followed him. And Jesus went about all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing all manner of sickness and all manner of diseases among the people. And his fame went throughout all Syria. And they brought unto him all sick people that were taken with divers diseases and torments, and those which were possessed with devils, and those which were lunatic, and those that had the palsy, and he healed them. And there followed him great multitudes of people from Galilee and from Decapolis and from Jerusalem and from Judea and from beyond Jordan. Let us pray. Father, again, I thank you today for the wonderful, wonderful book, the Bible, the Word of God. And I thank you this morning for the privilege of reading it and, Father, just preaching this message from it. Lord, we need your help again today. We need your power, your wisdom. And Lord, I want you especially to know that I love you this morning. And I know it's because you first loved me. It's hard to understand all those things, but I know you do. Thankful for the message we heard Wednesday, Lord, how you loved us and even liked us. And Father, this morning, though it's a new day, we need you. We need your power, need your wisdom. Need you, Father, to have an attentive spirit in this place today, that folk will just sit and listen for these next few minutes and hear the word of God that you've presented to me to give to them. We'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. I'm going to preach a message this morning which I've entitled, His Fame Was Spread. Verse 24, if you'll notice, he said his fame was spread throughout all Syria. Notice I mentioned and emphasized his. It's his fame that must be spread. I was thinking about that, and we're going to look at some ways, I believe, that in the Bible it tells us that his fame was spread. You know, when you spread something, it doesn't stay in one place. I imagine most of you have heard about taking butter and spreading it on a piece of bread. You don't put a hunk of butter on a corner of a bread and leave it there. You spread it throughout all the piece of bread. You take these farmers, they go out and they want to spread some lime on their fields. That's what they call it. They're spreading lime or fertilizer on their field. They don't dump it in one place and just leave it there. They take it, they put it in a truck, and this truck has a fan-like thing on the back of it that throws it as it drives down through. It throws it out the back and spreads it on the whole field. I think you can get to understanding what I'm trying to say. When you spread something, it doesn't put it in one place and it stays. If we wanted to put something in one place and leave it there, we could preach the gospel this morning and leave it in this place. But the Word of God is to be spread throughout all of the community, all the communities around us, by people from Blessed Hope Baptist Church. For you know the gospel, and you know that that's what needs to be done. We're talking about the fame of Jesus Christ. The word fame speaks about knowledge about him. In fact, the concordance even mentions the word rumor. It's like his fame spread, the rumor of him spread. Now, when you think of a rumor, I think of a rumor a lot of times, we think of false rumors, but there's also true rumors. There's truth that is spread. And that word fame means that his knowledge of him was spread from all throughout here. It said throughout all Syria. I believe that's one of the most important things that we need to do is spread the fame of Jesus Christ. He's the one we need to get out, and his message, we need to get it out, and we need to spread his fame wherever we go. So what we're going to do this morning is I'm going to try to help you and help myself with how, according to the scripture, according to the word of God, his fame was spread. First of all, if you notice here in our text today, the Bible talks about that Jesus, in verse number 23, Jesus went about all Galilee teaching, he said, in the synagogue. You notice that Jesus did not just stay in one place. We meet together at Blessed Hope Baptist Church this morning. Thank God we've got a place to meet. I think that's a proper thing. I think it's a scriptural thing for us to meet and gather together in one place so that the word of God can be preached and we can sing praises unto him. We can pray and we can do the things that we do here at church. I believe that is correct. But if it only stayed here, we would not be doing and fulfilling that which God had given us to do. If it only remained within your heart and it does not go out from you to other people, we are failing in that which God has given us to do. I think you understand that. The Bible says that he went throughout all Galilee teaching in their synagogues. First of all, he went teaching. If you'll notice, he said he taught in the synagogues. Well, that was a place, if we would look at it like that, much like this, where people gathered to hear the word of God read and taught. And Jesus went there teaching the word of God. That's one of the ways his fame was spread. We also find, when I look at that, I'm looking that there he's trying to reach the religious folk. He went to the synagogue because they were people who were religious. He went there to preach to them and teach them the truth of the word of God. I believe it's important that you here this morning, you're religious folk, if you want to refer to it like that. You're believers. If you're here and you know Christ is your Savior, you're a believer. But you still need taught. You need to hear the word of God. That's why you come to church. That's why you come and hear the word of God. He went to the synagogue to reach the religious folk. There's also possible that there's religious folk here this morning that's unsaved. You would be like this preacher many, many years ago. I was a religious person as a young man. I was religious but unsaved. Not until 1966, when I was 26 years of age, did I truly hear. I went to a place much like this. No, it wasn't quite this big, but it was a Baptist church, much like this, where the word of God was preached. I heard the truth. I was religious, but I heard the truth, and I received Christ as my personal Savior. You see, religious folks need to hear the word of God. It may be some are unsaved. They don't know Christ as their Savior, so they need to hear the truth. Jesus went where he could spread the word of God and teach people the word of God. Not only that, in that same verse of Scripture, verse 23, says Jesus went about all Galilee teaching in their synagogue and preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing all manner of sickness and all manner of diseases among the people. Now, we're not going to talk about the healing at this point. Later on, we will, but let me just share with you. It says he went among the people. Let me say to you, we must also take the word of God, teach the word of God, spread the fame of Jesus Christ, the knowledge of Jesus Christ, out among where the people are. That's what our visitation programs are all about. That's why bus people go visiting on Saturday and do their bus work. That's why on Wednesday, our young people, our youth go out on Wednesday evening and go out amongst the people. That's why on Saturday morning, we go out amongst the people. We go out knocking on doors. We go amongst the people. We cannot keep the word of God here within this little building. We must get it out unto a people, and all people are not going to come to church. I'm very thankful for all of those who come this morning. I'm glad you're here in this pew. I'm glad they're downstairs. I'm glad they're out there in the activities building. I'm thankful for all that. But there's a whole lot of people that didn't hear this morning. There's a lot of people out there that's in their homes this morning. We'll never hear a message this morning. We'll never hear about Jesus Christ this morning. We've got to go out. We've got to spread the word of God amongst the people. And I believe that's the way that Jesus spread, his fame of him was spread, through teaching and preaching the word of God. And the Bible says in verse 24, and his fame went throughout all Syria because of his teaching and preaching of the word of God. I believe also, if you will turn with me to the book of Mark, please, the book of Mark, the first chapter of the book of Mark. I want to show you another way that the word of God and we will say the living word of God, the fame of Jesus Christ was spread. I want to show you in the book of Mark, the first chapter, 21st verse. He says, "And they went into Capernaum, and straightway on the Sabbath day he entered into the synagogue and taught. And they were astonished at his doctrine, for he taught them as one that had authority, and not as the scribes. And there was in their synagogue a man with an unclean spirit, and he cried out, saying, Let us alone. What have we to do with thee, thou Jesus of Nazareth? Art thou come to destroy us? I know thee, who thou art, the Holy One of God. And Jesus rebuked him, saying, Hold thy peace and come out of him. And when the unclean spirit had torn him and cried with a loud voice, he came out of him. And they were all amazed, insomuch that they questioned among themselves, saying, What thing is this? What new doctrine is this? For with authority commanded he with the unclean spirits, and they do obey him. And immediately his fame spread abroad throughout all the regions round about Galilee." We find here by the miracles that Jesus Christ did, by the miracles that he did, his fame was spread. Let me say to you, there needs to be more miracles in Christians' lives, in people's lives today. We need to see evidence of the miracles of Jesus Christ. I want you to understand, it's such a tragedy that we've taken the miracles out of the church today. I'm not talking about the charismatic movement. I'm not talking about the heresy of the tongue movement. I'm not talking about the foolishness that's going on in many churches. I'm talking about just basic miracles where we see God moving and doing and seeing people brought to Christ. I don't know whether you understand or not, whether we understand enough or not, but the greatest miracle in this world is someone coming to Christ, being born again into the family of God. I want to just share with you a story that happened this last week. We was in our office this last week, and our sister Angie Sagercy came into the outer office, and she was talking about some food that she was distributing for us. We had some people that needed some food, and she was getting directions for that. She came in, and I've never seen Angie so bubbly as she was that day, and we was listening to her, and she was saying, "Oh, Pastor, I've got to tell you something." You know, she works as a dietitian. And she gets around to different places and hospitals and nursing homes and things like that. And she was just at the Brazil hospital. And she said, "I went into this room," and I'm sure I won't get it exactly right, but she went into this room, and this man, Mr. Woolley, was in his room there sitting. And one of the first things he said to her was, "I need some help." She was trying to find out what kind of help he needed. He said, "No, not probably the kind of help you think. But said, I need some help, and I cannot find anybody to help me." There was a Bible laying on his bed. Come to find out, he was talking about spiritual help. And she said, "Well, I think that I can help you." And she happened to have one of those packets that we hand out on our visitation program. She gave it to him, and she said, "Would you read this?" He said, I can't read. Now my eyes are bad. I can't read all of this." She said, "Would you read it to me?" She removed the God's Simple Plan of Salvation tract from that packet, sat down, and with weeping eyes, she said, before it was over, him and her both was crying. She read that to him. At the end, she said to him, "Would you like to be saved?" He said, "I sure would." And he received Jesus Christ as his personal Savior, invited Christ to save him. What I'm saying to you is, there is miracles happening all around us, and we don't even recognize it. Thank God that she was in, I think Tim it was that said to me later, it's being in the right place at the right time. And I want to add to that, and willing to do what God wants you to do. Amen. I'm saying to you, these are miracles that God does every day. I don't know about you, but I want to be a part of them. You know, Brother Schindler and I was talking over at our home on Thursday and Thanksgiving Day, and we spoke about the subject. And he said, the salvation of a soul and winning someone to Christ is one of the most exciting things that a person can do. There is no greater thing than when you get done leading someone to Christ. What a wonderful, and I hate to use the word feeling, but to some degree, what a wonderful blessing it is just to know that you was used of God to bring someone to Christ. David, my son David, was telling me, and we joined in on a conversation there, and he said there was a time he was on a business trip, and he said, you know, he said we went to, and they was going out to different meetings, you know, and he said, I didn't have to go to this meeting, and this other fellow said he was sending a representative to that meeting. David didn't need in that meeting, so it left these two people. This one man looked up at David and said, I take that you're kind of religious. And so he began to explain to him, yes, he was, if you want to call it that, he was religious. He said, tell me what you believe. Tell me what you believe. And so David explained to him the gospel, explained to him what he believed. Now, let me say to you, God brought two men together. He said, he told him he was a Catholic. He said he didn't do anything about it, but he wanted to know, diligently wanted to know what it was that David believed. What I'm saying to you, from different parts of the country, God brought two men together, sitting by themselves in a place, and where David could tell him the truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ. What I'm saying to you is God wants to do that all the time. God is busy. He's performing miracles all the time, putting us in the right place, the right time, if we will just listen to him and respond and do what he wants us to do. I believe that with all of my heart, you see. We've kind of eliminated the miracles from the churches today, but I believe God's still performing miracles. I love it when someone gets saved. I think it's a wonderful thing when someone comes to Christ. That's a miracle of God Almighty, you see. He still is the all-powerful, all-wonderful, miracle-working God. And it's through things like that that the gospel of Jesus Christ is spread. And let me say to you, his fame is spread throughout all the regions, throughout all the country, and throughout all the world. Let me just kind of extend that story just a little bit. The next day, I went down to see this gentleman. I felt like someone ought to follow up on that and just at least visit him and see him and talk to him a moment. I'd done it trying to find out, because Angie said I could not ask him his address or anything. That she cannot do that as a medical person. Or as a person where she's working, she cannot ask for personal things. I can. So I went down there. I was going to find out where he lived, and we was going to send a preacher by if he lived over there at Brazil. So I went over there. Now, let me tell you ahead of time what happened. I had tried here in Jacksonville, Indiana, this great, wonderful town in Jacksonville, Indiana. I tried to get my oil changed. Now, this don't sound like it has anything to do with this story, but it does. I went up here to the place right up here on the highway and went in on Tuesday, and I said to them, it was about 12:30, 1 o'clock, and I said, could you change my oil? He said, no, sir, I can't change your oil. He said, I'm getting ready to go to dinner. He said, don't have time right now. I thought he was a little bit indifferent, and I said, okay. And he said, I won't be back till 2:30. I mean, that's a long dinner, let me tell you something. But anyway, and he said, if you're around here later on, maybe I could. I said, I'm sorry, don't work in my plans. I'll come back. Do you have to have the reservation to get your oil changed here? No, no, just come. We'll change it for you. I went back the next morning, at Wednesday morning. I went in, and I said, sir, can you change my oil? And he said, no, can't do it. Said, I'm too busy. I said, okay. I said, you can't change my oil. No, he said, if you're around here this evening, now you remember, this is Wednesday. I'd be busy on Wednesday evenings, but he said, if you're around here, I'd change your oil. I said, well, thank you, sir, and I left. And he didn't seem, you know, a bit interested in having my business. And so anyway, I was headed for Brazil at that time to see this gentleman. I went down to the hospital, and I went in and had a good visit with this man. And I might forget to tell you, but I called Brother Strader. He's at Calvary Baptist over in Brazil. Called him later on. He's going to follow up and visit him. He's going to the nursing home after that. He told me he got saved gloriously, was so happy, so thankful that Angie had come by and told him how to be saved. And you know what he told me? I don't think I told Angie this, but he told me this. He said, you know, when I get out, it's clover something. Clover leaf? It's at Clover Leaf. That's where he was going. Clover Leaf and nursing home. And he said to me, he said, when I get out there to Clover Leaf, he said, you know what I'm going to do? I said, what are you going to do, sir? He said, I'm going to preach the gospel. That's exactly the words he said. I said, you're going to preach the gospel? Yes, sir. He said, I'm going to tell some folk out there about this. I'm going to preach. I said, boy, we'll spread the fame of Jesus all over Cloverleaf. Amen. That's a good thing. So anyway, I visited him. I was still worried about the oil. I don't know whether you guys worry about those things, but I was about 600 miles over my oil change. I don't like to do that. I just don't do that. I want it changed. So I stopped at a place in Brazil, had two or three bays. I went into that and I said to him, I said, sir, would you change my oil? He said, no, sir. I can't change your oil. I said, sir, why can't you change my oil? He said, oh, it's Turkey Day tomorrow, and I think everybody wants their oil changed. He said, I've got so many people stacked up. He said, I wish I could. If you're ever passing this way again, I'll change your oil. I said, thank you, sir. I said, sir, is there any place here in Brazil that would change my oil? He said, yes, sir. There's a little place down there. It's a 10-minute place. You know one of those 10-minute places that do it? They do it within 10 minutes. I mean, I guarantee you, I tell you, they do it. So I went down there. The reason I'm telling you this story is I went into that place. He said, pull your car right up here. You'll be right in next after this car here. I pulled it in, went into that little waiting room, just a little place. Went into that waiting room, and I sat down waiting. And about that time, no, it was probably about 3 or 4 minutes later. I mean, probably what I spoke to this lady was probably within 5 minutes at the most. Okay. And so I was sitting there. This young lady come in, and she sat down. I said, hi, ma'am, how are you? And we kind of started talking. I asked her about her family, and she didn't ask me about mine, but I told her. And and I told her about my children, and real quickly, you know how you do, and all about my grandchildren and how great they were, and you know how I do. And I told her all about it, and she kind of laughed, you know, thought that was funny, and I didn't think it was funny, but I... But anyway, we talked for just a moment. I said, well, what do you do? And she said, I'm a teacher out here at Northview. I said, well, what do you teach? She said, special ed folk. And I said, oh, I bet that's a challenge. She said, it sure is. And I said, you know, I have a challenging job too. I said, I kind of know a little bit what you're talking about. She said, what do you do? And I said, I pastor a church. And she kind of chuckled, you know. And I said, it's challenging also. I said, I've been doing this for nigh under 34 years. Oh, my, that's wonderful. She said, you know, now she's not over 25 years old. Okay, at the most, I'm guessing. I don't know. She said, I was a deacon in our church for a while. You say, Brother Ross, I bet you come unglued. You would have been so proud of me. She didn't need to be told about being a deacon. She needed saved. And I just said to her, I didn't say, oh, that's fine. I said, oh, is that right? And anyway, and so we talked. I said, well, I want to tell you something. Now, listen, in the shortness of time, I pulled a tract out of my pocket and I handed it to her. And I said, you know, the most important thing in the world is that a person knows how to go to heaven. And I said, I found that out 1966. In a little old Baptist church up near Brazil, Indiana. I said, right outside here. We was in Brazil. I said, right outside of here, out in the country, I come to know Christ as my Savior. And I said, would you read this? Soon as I handed it to her, the man said, that'll be $20.86. So I turned around to go pay the man, you know, and on my way out, I said, now, ma'am, will you read that? She said, I will read it. I promise you I will read it. Now, what I'm saying to you is simply this. In that little five-minute time frame, God would not let me get my oil changed anywhere else. I was in Brazil, Indiana, to visit Mr. Woolley. I was there for a purpose and a reason. And God had it all planned. I walked away, got in my car, and the greatest peace of God came over me. You were just where I wanted you to be. Just for them few minutes. What I'm saying to you, God still performs miracles. And I believe with all my heart, God wants to do every one of our lives that way every day of our life. Maybe that won't happen every day, but I want to tell you something. He has a plan for you and for me. If we will just listen to him. A lot of times we think that things happen because it just don't work out for us. A lot of times it's for his purpose. It's opportunities that God is opening that we know nothing about. If I had got my oil changed anywhere else, either here in Jasonville or at that place in Brazilian Dinner, I'd have never met that young lady. I'm just trying to say to you, God does them things all the time. I believe with all my heart. I don't know. I know most of you here, the visitors, I don't think I've had the privilege to shake your hand, but I don't think there's anybody here by accident. I believe God has it all planned. Now, I think he would have been well pleased, and it had been good to him, but there had been a lot more here. I had some people yesterday promise me they would be in this church this morning. They promised me they would be here. I went and visited them. I sat in their home. Now, they're not here this morning. But I say to you, I think God's plan was be for them to be here. But they thwarted that plan somewhere along the line. I believe it's God's plan we gather together on Sundays. Amen? That's the way the Word of God is spread. That's the way the fame of Jesus Christ is spread. It's not our fame that needs to be spread. It's his fame that needs to be spread. And I just believe something. I think we ought to say, God pity, godless, a lot of times, unpowerful preaching that goes out from pulpits. I believe that there's unpowerful Christian lives that are being lived. God pity us. God pity us that we don't even care enough to pray enough in the power of the Holy Spirit of God to get the will of God in our life. I want to tell you, it's sad business today what the church is becoming. It's sad business what Christians are becoming today. I believe all over this country there's powerless dead churches this morning that don't even know what it is to have the power of God on them. They get up every Sunday morning and shake themselves like Samson did, not even realizing that the power of God is gone from their services. They have these little old formal services, and they don't even have a good, a lot of times, a presentation of the gospel of Christ, and they don't even have an altar call to ask people to come and receive Christ. What is shame it is. We've got to get back and seeing the miracles that God wants to work in our life, and bringing people to Christ, being used of God just to get the gospel out. You see, is it any wonder why our altars are bare? Is it any wonder why our baptistries are dry? Is it any wonder why our churches are empty? Oh, we need to get back to the power of God in our services and seeing miracles, seeing God do miracles. But not just here, out on a daily basis in our life. Seeing God move and do some wonderful things every day of our life. Amen. I believe if that were true, there'd be some praises to God heard in our churches. I think the world would be able to see and have a witness of things going on, folks, that they need to see. You understand? See, the world needs to see the power of God in our churches. They need to see God doing the miraculous. We'll talk about that a little more. But you see, the Bible says, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it's the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. The gospel is the power of God unto salvation. That's the power of God. And we many times will not even present that gospel so that God's power can save a soul. Amen? Hear what I'm saying? You see, we need to see these miracles, you see. And that's the way the fame of Jesus was spread. I want you to go with me now over to the book of Luke, the fourth chapter of the book of Luke. This kind of ties in with what I've just been saying, but I want you to see it in fourth chapter, the 14th verse. It says, and Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit into Galilee, and there went out a fame of him through all the regions round about, and he taught in their synagogues, being glorified of all. Did you notice that when Jesus returned, he'd been up on the Mount of Transfiguration, and he returned, he says he came in the power of the Spirit. I'm convinced, and as I said, this kind of continues in what I've been saying, but I'm convinced that we need to see Spirit-filled Christians going forth in the power of the Holy Spirit, taking the Word of God, taking the fame of Jesus Christ, and spreading it across this community. It was Samson, I believe, the Bible said, that the Spirit of God came upon him. There was other ones also, Saul and David and Samuel and Gideon. The Spirit of God came upon them. The Bible tells us in the New Testament, of course, that Paul was filled with the Spirit. The Bible tells us about Peter being filled with the Spirit. I've tried to explain that to you. I've tried to make it as simple as I can. I think we discussed this maybe on Wednesday night a little bit, as I remember. I can't remember all, but I think it wasn't Wednesday, this Wednesday. I think it was last Sunday, excuse me. But anyway, we've got to understand the Spirit of God wants to control us. He wants us to use us. And the reason Jesus, of course, came in the Spirit of God, because he was filled with the Spirit of God without measure. He did not even begin his ministry, till the Spirit of God was upon him. John the Baptist saw the Spirit of God in the form of a dove came upon him. We need God's power. You go back into history, you go back into church history, and you think about people like Dwight L. Moody. You think about John Wesley and George Whitefield and George Mueller and Billy Sunday and John R. Rice. And you think about these men, Lester Roloff. Why do you remember them? Why do we look back in history and point them out? Because God used them. He filled them and used them. I believe God wants to do the same thing with us today. There's multitudes I know of preachers across this country today. I understand that. No one's ever heard of them. No one knows their name. But they're preaching the Word of God in the power of the Holy Spirit of God. I believe that this morning. I believe there's Christians that sits in pews all across this country that are filled with the Holy Spirit of God. They go out every day of their life as they work, no matter where they go, taking the Word of God with them, presenting the gospel of Christ. That's what this is all about. Amen. And this world needs to see that. You can call it anything you want to, but the Bible says he explained to his disciples to tarry in Jerusalem until you're endued with power from up on high. I believe we need God's power as we go forth to live our Christian life. Folks, listen to me. You know what the power of God would tell you to do? The power of God would tell you to witness for Jesus Christ and spread his fame. Amen? Isn't that what he would do? Wouldn't that be his instructions? Oh, sure it would, you see. We need to realize that. Oh, Barnabas, it said he was full of the Holy Ghost and faith, and much people were added unto the Lord. Why was much people added to the Lord through Barnabas? I'll tell you what, because he was full of the Holy Ghost and faith. He went out witnessing and preaching the wonderful Word of God. I'm just simply saying to you folks, we need to spread the fame of Jesus Christ throughout this land. Jasonville needs it. This area needs it. Linton and all of these areas around here need the Word of God preached unto them and told how wonderful Jesus Christ is. Amen. Turn with me to the book of Luke, please. The 5th chapter. As you notice in verse number 12, 5th chapter of Luke, says, and it came to pass when he was in a certain city, behold, a man full of leprosy, who seeing Jesus fell on his face and besought him, saying, Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. And he put forth his hand and touched him, saying, I will be thou clean. And immediately the leprosy departed from him. And he charged him to tell no man, but go and show thyself to the priest and offer for thy cleansing according as Moses commanded for a testimony unto them. But listen, but so much the more went there a fame abroad of him, and great multitudes came together to hear and to be healed by him of their infirmities. And he withdrew himself into the wilderness and prayed. I want you to notice there the fame after he had healed this leper, the fame of Jesus Christ began to spread. People began to come to him seeking that same help. Now, I'm saying to you today what I believe that God is trying to tell us. What is needed today is the healing of lives. Oh, yes, we know that God heals physically. We know God does things like that. We know there wouldn't be people right here in this room today that would not be here today if Jesus had not healed. We understand that. We know that. But I want to tell you the greatest healing I believe that we need to see so the fame of Jesus Christ can be spread is the healing of lives. I'm talking about when you see old broken lives come to Christ and all at once they turn around and begin to live for Jesus Christ. Oh, that's needed. I tell you, I really get upset with this one. I really do, because I hear people telling me how wonderful Jesus is and they love Jesus and they've been saved and they won't even attend a church service. Don't give me that baloney. I want to tell you, you don't know the same Jesus I know. They won't go to church. They won't live for God. They live like the devil. They do all these things outside of what Christianity is, and then they want to tell us how wonderful Jesus is. I don't believe that. I believe Jesus is wonderful, but I don't believe they know him. What this world needs to see a people whose lives are changed, that's living for God. No, they're not perfect. No, they're not perfect. We know they're not perfect, but their lives has been turned around. I want to show you over in the book of Mark real quickly, please, in the 5th chapter of the book of Mark, show you something that happened. I think it'll illustrate what I'm talking about. Mark, the 5th chapter, it says, and there came over, verse, came over unto the other side of the sea, into the country of the Gadareans. And when he was come out of the ship, immediately there met him out of the tombs a man with an unclean spirit, who had his dwelling among the tombs. And no man could bind him, no, not with chains, because that he had been often bound with fetters and chains, and the chains had been plucked asunder by him, and the fetters broken in pieces. Neither could any man tame him. And always night and day he was in the mountains and in the tombs, crying and cutting himself with stones. But when he saw Jesus afar off, he ran and worshipped him. Now, I'm not going to read all the scriptures in between there, but you kind of know the story. You know how that Christ came upon the scene and how he cast out those demons out of this man. They went into these 2,000 sheep, hogs anyway, and they went over this embankment down into the sea, and they was drowned. The Bible says they were choked. Now, I want to show you what happens as they came and they see a picture of this man who was a demon, a lunatic, full of demons, and he was a lunatic. Look at verse 15. And they came to Jesus and see him that was so possessed with the devil and had the legion sitting and clothed in his right mind, and they were afraid. And they that saw it told them how it befell to him that was possessed with the devil, and also concerning the swine. You get a picture of this man who was full of demons. You picture him here, cutting himself, running throughout the tombs, cutting himself, yelling, screaming, breaking the chains, the fetters. Now all at once you find him, when he come to Christ, you find him sitting here and clothed and in his right mind. Now, what I'm saying to you is this. You want to tell me his life was not changed? You want to tell me if he came to Jesus Christ and sat at Jesus' feet and then went back out into that mountain and began to run through the mountain and the tombs and cutting himself, that the people would have seen anything? Would they have recognized that he had been with Jesus? Now, let me tell you why they knew he'd been with Jesus. It's because here he was sitting at the feet of Jesus, clothed and in his right mind. What I'm saying to you is when you come to Christ, something happens. No one said you was perfect, but I'm just simply saying no one said this man was perfect after he was saved. But you know what Jesus done with him? Jesus sent him back to spread the fame of Jesus Christ throughout those he knew. He sent him out. No, he wouldn't let him go with him. He said, you go back to your home and you spread the gospel of Christ. What I'm saying to you is, you know what? He could spread it because he was different. People believe because he was different. I'm saying to you today, we need to see people different. Why are we the same we was before we got saved? Why? How can we claim salvation when we're the same as we was before we got saved, supposedly, quote, quote? No, there's a difference. Jesus comes into our life, you see, and this world needs to see a difference. Amen. Don't okay this stuff if everybody says they're saved and they're not even trying whatsoever to love God, not trying whatsoever to live for God, and they want to walk around saying they're saved. That's a blasphemous. And it's a disgrace to Christianity. I say to you, when God comes into your life, something happens. He begins to work in your life and do some things in your life. And you're not going to be like you used to be. No, it may take some time. It may do a lot of things. But I'm just saying to you, you're not the same. Why? Because you're different inside. And this world needs to see some miracles, you see. Turn with me over to the book of Matthew, please. The 9th chapter of the book of Matthew. Verse 27 says, "And when Jesus departed thence, two blind men followed him, crying and saying, Thou Son of David, have mercy on us. And when he had come into the house, the blind men came to him, and Jesus said unto them, Believe ye that I am able to do this? They said unto him, Yea, Lord. Then touched he their eyes, saying, According to your faith, be it unto you. And their eyes were opened. And Jesus straightly charged them, saying, See that no man know it. But they, when they were departed, spread abroad his fame in all that country." I'm not going to spend a lot of time on this, but we've already talked about some of the healing. But if you'll follow through with this, you find Jesus healing. He healed the woman with the issue of blood. He heals these two blind men. And he goes from there, and his fame was spread. I want you to, now let me read you one verse in chapter 9, verse 36. "But when he saw the multitude, he was moved with compassion on them, because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd." I want to tell you why the fame of Jesus spread is because he had compassion. Jesus Christ had compassion on people. He cared about people. I want to say to you today, this world needs to see some Christians with some compassion. Care enough about them to not only, yeah, maybe give them a meal, but to tell them the gospel of Jesus Christ. You know, it's pretty easy for us sometimes to give meals out. We do it all the time. Yes, we do. We spend a lot of money around here on the Joseph's storehouse, and we do a lot of other things. Yes, and I think we should, and I think it's wonderful, and I think it's good. But folks, if we fail to give them the gospel of Christ while we're giving them food, we've failed. We got to have compassion on people. You know, it's pretty easy for us to look down our nose at people and think, well, how did you get in that problem? Well, maybe you need to walk in their shoes for a little while. Maybe you haven't been where they've been. I know it's hard. I know we live in difficult times, folks. I do. I know all about it. I know there's folks really going through hard and difficult times. I know that. And I know there's some is going through hard and difficult times because it's their own fault. But I kind of look back and I remember before I got saved, you know what? It was my own fault. And someone had compassion enough on me to tell me how to be saved. What I'm saying is we need some compassion of heart upon the people of this area. We need to look out and say, you know what, we want to help you. We want to be a blessing. And the greatest help in the world we can give you is the gospel of Jesus Christ. Amen? You see, I believe that that's the way his fame was spread because of his great compassion. You know, there's a lot of things I could say today. You can look up in your concordance. And you could find a lot of different other areas where fame was used and how it was spread. I guess I want you to know that we need to get his word out. We need to get his fame spread everywhere. And that's not going to happen by just sitting at ease. I want to give you two or three man's proverbs, not God's proverbs. One of them is, free men freely work. Whoever fears God fears to set at ease. I thought that was good. The best worship is working worship. Men are naturally tempted by the devil, but an idle man positively tempts the devil. That's good Proverbs. I guess what I'm trying to say is, folks, this whole thing of not doing anything for God, just don't get it. Not being a witness for Christ, just don't get it. Now, you know that, and I know that. If you're sitting where you're sitting right now, you know God wants you to be a witness for Jesus Christ. You know he wants you to spread his fame wherever you go. Why don't you dedicate your life? Why don't you just say to God, Monday morning, I'm just going to give my heart, my life to you, and however you open up the doors for me to witness, I'm going to do it. I'm going to carry some tracts with me, and I'm just going to spread the gospel of Christ wherever I go. I'm just going to let God use me so that the fame of Jesus Christ can be spread throughout all this community, and who knows how far else it'll spread. What I'm saying to you, folks, wouldn't you want to get in on that? Don't you think that that would be what God would want? I mean, don't you believe that this is the will of God for our lives? We need to spread His fame throughout all this community that God has given us to live in. And we need to be a part of it. First of all, let me say to you, though, you may be here today and you've never been saved. I want to tell you about a wonderful Savior who loves you, who died on the cross for your sin, wants you to receive Him as personal Savior, wants you to put your faith, your trust in Him and Him alone so that He can save your soul and give you eternal life. According to the Word of God, you're a sinner. You need saved, just like I and everyone else in this room are sinners. We are lost unless we receive Christ as our personal Savior. If you're here without Christ, God wants to save you and give you eternal life, and He will if you let Him. He loves you so much, that's why He came. Amen. And that's the message I need to give you this morning is Jesus loves you, wants to save you, wants to give you eternal life. If you'll put your faith and trust in Him, He'll save your soul and make you ready for heaven when you die. Amen. He wants that for you. See, I don't know if you've ever been born again. Do you know 100% sure if you died today, you'd go to heaven? Are you for sure of that? Do you know that in your heart? I die today. I know I'd go to heaven. Do you know that? If not, would you like to know that? Wouldn't that be a good thing to know? Wouldn't that be good? Do you know what this invitation, as soon as I get done, there'll be two men standing right up here, and we're going to give an invitation for you to come forward. Come up to one of these men and say, I want to be saved. I want to know how I can receive Christ so I can be saved and ready for heaven. If you're a lady, the men will get some lady to deal with you. If you're a young man, they'll get a man to deal with you. But you need to get that settled today. Amen? All right, let's pray. Father, again today, I thank you for your love, your kindness today. I thank you for those who was here today. Help us, oh God, to spread the fame of Jesus Christ. Help us do that. And then, Lord, if there's those here without Christ today, not sure of heaven, what a wonderful day this would be for them to be saved. I know you love them, and I know you want to save them. And I trust, God, that you'll be able just to deal with their hearts and bring them unto yourself. We'll thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.